for all you alpha males about Sozo. Okay? It's not a girly thing for fruitcakes. We've got loads of emotional problems. It's not that. I've had a Sozo, that's the phrase. And what we find at home is we find a lot of guys are kind of, no, I don't do all that stuff, you know, that inner healing stuff. Listen, guys, you need to know that it's unlike any other ministry like that I've come across, that it's a very empowering ministry, that what happens is entirely up to you. It's not up to the person, you know, doing the Sozo at all. You have complete control over what you do, where you go, what you say, what you don't do, and what you don't want to say. So in that respect, I found it very empowering and very freeing. So put it on your radar. It's just that I know at home we get a lot of the guys go, oh yeah, the missus had one, but I'm fine. Maybe you are fine. I'm really pleased for you. I wasn't. But that's great. Okay. I'm going to preach from my laptop this morning, not because I'm trying to be all technical, but because I discovered at 9 o'clock this morning I hadn't printed off my notes. So I wasn't going to try and do it from memory. But we prayed for, was it Gordon having surgery? Okay. We pray because we want God to intervene and do something. Now, we're grateful for doctors and we're grateful for drugs, the legal kind. And we thank God for all those things. You know, we thank God for people researching cures to diseases. But we also pray, don't we? Yeah, I remember a guy called John Wimber used to say when he got a headache, he'd take a couple of pills and pray, and he didn't know which one got there first, and he didn't mind. You know, just kind of as long as we're better. So we do pray because we want God to come and do something unusual or supernatural, don't we? Yeah? We're asking God for the impossible when we pray. And we're chasing that sort of stuff down. And do we see everybody we pray for healed? No. Are we seeing more people healed for now than we did 5 years ago? Yes. And I think God is just discipling us and training us and mentoring us to carry more and more of that kind of anointing and that kind of grace in our lives. So I felt this morning that we should take some time to pray for not pray for sickness, Lord, you know what sickness. No, pray for people who are unwell. Are you up for that? Okay, so those three are going to do it. So, yeah, and we'll do this a bit differently. And what I'd like to get, let's do this one first. Is there anybody in the room sitting? If you, I'm going to make one up. Is there anybody in the room who feels like they've had a word of knowledge on and off during the morning for healing? If you know what a word of knowledge is, that's great. If you don't, I'll explain it afterwards. Is there anybody sitting there feeling, do you know what? I arrived this morning thinking we ought to pray for this. If not, you did. You didn't just make it up. Okay, so shout it out. What is it? Somebody's having headaches with lots of nosebleeds. Is that anybody in the room? Anybody having recurring headaches accompanied by nosebleeds? Anybody know anybody? Okay. That's all right. All right. And so, inspired by the positive response to that word, it's all right, hang on in there. Has anybody else got anything else they want to say before I do what I want to do? No? Yes? No? Okay. If at some point, are you being friendly and waving? Or
yeah, I am waving.
Uh-huh. Okay. She's so anti-God. Do you think God's anti-her? Probably not. Who's going to win? Yeah. She gets to choose. Okay. What's her name? Alison. Okay. So will you take time to pray together for her later? And then next time you see her, without mentioning God, just go, how are the headaches and nosebleeds? And see what's happened. Yeah? Let's just find out. Okay, so what I'd like to this morning is, I want to pray for the difficult stuff. Okay? So I would like to pray this morning for people with an incurable condition. Okay? An incurable condition. That doesn't necessarily mean terminal. Yeah? It's not something necessarily that, that doctors have told you will end in death. So we're not just talking about cancer, although we can happily include that in the mix. But I'm looking for to pray for people who've got a condition where the doctor said, that's just how it's going to be for the rest of your life. Yeah, and it may be controlled by drugs or medication or therapy or repetitive surgery. But, you know, basically the doctor said, now we can't do anything about that. That's just how it's going to be for you. Does that make sense? So is there anybody, and that might be terminal, that might not be terminal. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you to tell us what it is, by the way. Okay, and nor are the people who are going to pray going to ask you what it is. Okay, and if they do, tell them it's a secret. Okay, so is there anybody in that place? One, two, three, anybody else? Anybody else? Awesome. It's not you, it's your daughter. I saw the little pink girl. Is daddy still in the room or has he gone out with her? Daddy's at the back with her. Awesome. I got a prophetic word for that family. We'll do that in a minute. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. there's a place for praying and interceding, yeah? Where we bring our requests to God. That's entirely valid and very biblical. There's a place for speaking to things and breaking things off of people, and that's all good, and I encourage you to do all of those things. What I'd like to do this morning for these folks is, in a second we're going to stand, and what I want us to do is I want us to worship over them. That's why you don't have to ask them what's wrong. We are going to pull heaven, if you like, in our worship down into their situation. So there'll be intentionality about it, but we're not going to pray for them. Yeah, we're not going to ask them about it. Yeah? And we're just going to worship, because who knows that light overcomes darkness? Yeah, who knows that God inhabits the praises of his people? Yeah, and we're asking God to invade their physical bodies. So we're going to worship over them. So in a second, they're going to stand up first, and I invite you to go and stand with any one of them that you like, or stay where you are, don't mind, yeah? But go and stand with any one of them that you feel drawn to, and feel free to lay hands on them with their permission. You don't need to know where it is or what it is, and then the guys are going to worship, and we are just going to worship intentionally over these people. Is that okay? Now, it's a bit different, but hey, I think it does a number of things. It puts the focus on heaven and not on the condition. Yeah. So sometimes we look at a condition so much it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and impossible. Yeah. So it focuses on heaven and it activates the entire community. Because who knows that God's interested in the priesthood of all believers, not a mighty speaker with a microphone. Yeah. The day of the great man at the front is gone. I'm not sure it was ever here really. Yeah. But God is interested in an army of ordinary people, as somebody once wrote. Okay, so if you indicated that you're happy with that, if you don't mind standing up, and if since I've said all of that you're happy to stand up and you didn't put your hand up, that's fine as well. Yeah? So go. Now listen, very often with those conditions you can't tell immediately if anything's happened, okay? But and we don't want to be all cocky with our doctors, but you know, just watch for change, watch for improvement, and when it comes, tell someone, so that we can celebrate God, and build our faith, and build our encouragement. Okay, so the family with the girl in pink. Okay, now you need to know that you got on my radar not because of your girl, okay, who just got my attention anyway when you came in the room. That's mummy and daddy, kind of. Okay, all right. Here's what I felt God say to me, and it's kind of ironic really, and I was like, oh really God, it's a bit corny, but never mind. So do me a favour, would you shut your eyes? And the reason I ask you to shut your eyes is I want you to engage with heaven more than you engage with me. So I'm going home at 3 o'clock today, and Jesus will still be here at 4 and 5 and 6. And why don't those of you around kind of just lay your hands on them as a family? Is that alright? Just, yeah. Okay. Well done guys. And listen, thanks for being brave. It's ironic, you see, because you parked your car in the wrong place. And there are people out there who are going to punish you for that. Yeah? So you're just you're just parked up in the wrong place. Yeah, you settled down in the wrong place. And you didn't know, and you were doing it to do the right thing, and heavens above, you're just going to get punished. And you didn't know, and it was kind of your fault, but it wasn't your fault. But you need to know this, that wherever you settle, heaven's punishment is never going to follow you. Yeah, there is no punishment from heaven. There's only your Heavenly Father's goodness and kindness seeking you out. And while you're trying to work out what to do next, it's interesting that you parked in front of a ramp. And God says it's this isn't necessarily about physically moving, but it may be, who knows. God says it's time not to park in front of a ramp, but it's time to get on the on-ramp. And it's odd because this ramp I see in my spirit, it's a kind of off-ramp. It's an off-ramp. You're familiar with this phrase, off-ramp. We talk about slip roads. The Americans talk about ramps. It's an off-slip road, away for some stuff, but it's also an on-slip road to some other stuff. And it's not that what was or where you've been or whatever that is, and again, it's not necessarily about geography. It's not that that was bad. It's just a different season. It's just a different time. It's about being, you know, in a different whatever. And it's good, and it's for your good, and it's for your good. Okay, so I'm going to start preaching, but what I'd like the people around them to do is I don't want you to pray for them. What I want you to do is just bless them. Yeah, just say every good thing you can think of that Scripture promises. We're looking for stuff in the Bible. Yeah, every good thing in Scripture that God's promised to His people, I'd like you just to speak it over them. Okay. And I can speak, and these good people can listen to me, while there's a murmur of promise and thanksgiving at the back. Okay? And we're very happy to hear you. So I'm going to whisper. Please don't shout, but you get the idea. Is that okay? Right, off you go, guys. That'll be awesome. And listen, if while I'm talking, you're sitting there thinking, I wish I was at the back. I wish I could go and do that. Get up out of your chair, walk to the back, and bless them, and then come back to your chair. Yeah? I promise not to be put off. And God is a great multitasker who knows that He can talk to you as well as to them at the same time. I'm told we finish at 12 o'clock, which is 2 minutes from now. Oh, you see, now I know why I didn't print my notes. But I do want to touch on just one thing. And we won't stay here till 12:30. When we were little, I mean, I was just watching the kids come in, and you know, often they'll come in. You see the girls come in as dressed as princesses, and saw one young lad clutching a lightsaber. God, I wish they were real, don't you? I'd love one of those. Sorry, childish. Kids are born wanting to be great, aren't they? They're born wanting to be a superhero. They're born wanting to have a superpower. Yeah, they're just not born with a sense of I don't want to be anything. They're not born with a sense of I just want to be ordinary. They're born with a sense of significance, of great destiny and purpose. You know whether they identify with Superman or Luke Skywalker or princes, whoever. Yeah, I don't know princess names as well. But kids are born with a great sense of destiny. And then what happens is the world talks them out of it. The world talks them out of it. And then experience dents it. Yeah? And disappointment settles in. Listen, if you've never been disappointed, you are truly blessed and probably lying. Okay? Yeah. But so we've had disappointments, but we don't want to live disappointed, do we? But what happens is those things come and they burst our bubble, and suddenly, you know, people end up just feeling like, well, if this was a movie, I'd be an extra in the back row. Yeah? Who knows that God didn't make extras? He didn't look around the earth and think, that's a big space, I'll fill it with a few special people, and in all the leftover space, I'll stick the also-rans. Yeah? God, heaven didn't do that. Yeah? All those amazing things that Scripture talks about being fearfully and wonderfully made and God knowing you from your mother's womb, are true for every person on the planet. Yeah? You're an expression of the bigness and the abundance of God, not his desire just to fill space. And yet so many of us drift and walk through life, yeah, having put to bed or buried or put to sleep or killed our dreams, our hopes and our ambitions. Yeah? If you're like me, from time to time, and I don't even tell Christine this, you know, I sit there imagining outrageous things. I sit there imagining myself doing outrageous things. Yeah, not like Superman, but and still I fight the kind of, oh, get real, David. Yeah, get real. You know, why you? Well, one day the thought crossed my mind: why not? Yeah. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Yeah? But you see, disappointment and life stop us even asking. Yeah? And we've just grown kind of, yeah, well, this happened and then somebody said this and then and we just give up. And, you know, the phrase I'd love you to remember this morning is, you have heaven's permission to be great. You have heaven's permission to be great, whatever great feels like on your destiny and your calling. And you need to know that Jesus never, ever gave anybody a hard time for wanting to be great. You remember the two brothers? You know, the mother of whoever it was, the sons of Zebedee, was that the one? James and John, I knew that. Thank you for sitting close. Yeah. You know, mum comes up and, you know, I'd like my boys on the left and the right. And Jesus is not upset. Yeah. In fact, what he says is, you know, can you pay the price? And they go, yes, we can pay the price. And Jesus says, well, you will sit on the throne. Yeah. It was all the others who got upset. Yeah, it was the other 10 who were kind of, so you wanted to be on the left and the right, did you? Yeah. Had nothing to do with the fact that they wanted to be on the left and the right and they didn't think of it first. Because we're still competitive, aren't we? You need to know that Jesus never gave anybody a hard time for wanting to be great. He did, however, redefine what greatness is and how you achieve it. Yeah? He redefined what greatness is. And you see, greatness is, in the kingdom of God, looking after other people. Greatness is caring for others. Greatness is, well, you know the scriptures as well as I do. It's about being childlike. Okay? But you see, what we've done in the church is we've turned that into false humility. And false humility is a terrible sin. It looks a bit like pride. And false humility is, I could never. Yeah. True humility is, God just might through me. I mean, you look at the great men in Scripture, yeah, and the great women in Scripture. You know, most of them have feet of clay, and they're terribly fallible. But the difference is they didn't give up. And a lot of us have given up. Yeah, a lot of us have given up. And God is looking for humble people. Whose job is it to keep you humble? Any idea? Sorry? It's your wife's job to keep you humble. She must have been discipled by my wife. Scripture's very clear. The responsibility for being humble is mine. And interestingly, humility is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Humility is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something you choose to put on. Scripture says, clothe yourself with humility. Yeah? So humility is a choice. Yeah? And in this situation, I'll humble myself. But God's looking for humble people because he needs people that he can put great power on, great anointing, great gifting, great resources, without them starting to think it's all about them. And there's an awesome scripture, which is my closing scripture, you'll be pleased to know. Christine, you're going to come and break some stuff off in a second, love? Yeah? Okay, so 1 Peter 5 says this, 1 Peter 5 verse 5. God is opposed to the proud. Who wants God fighting them? Okay, God hates pride more than any other sin. Yeah, because it divided heaven. And it keeps people from him. Yeah? God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, So why do we humble ourselves? Because God likes worms. God likes people who grovel. God likes people who think poorly of themselves. You know, humility is none of those things, don't you? Yeah? Here's why, and we don't get the second half of this verse talked about a lot. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. See, humility isn't about not being exalted. Humility is about being exalted and not getting spoiled. Humility is about being able to hold center stage, steward great resources, great power, great anointing, and not letting it mess with your heart. Because the world will tell you that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why God's looking for humble people who don't think it's about them, who don't get competitive with others. Competition kills, you know that, don't you? Competition kills. Yeah. Don't get competitive with others. Yeah, so that God can go, this is a place where I can put great weight, great responsibility, great authority, and it won't crush them and it won't corrupt them. So I just want to give you permission to start behaving like the things God put in your heart were possible again. Yeah? I want to give you permission to do great things. And this won't just be in church. I mean, we spent the day with the leaders yesterday. You know, not everybody in the church can be a leader. And not everybody should be a leader. Because a Christian life isn't about church. You know that, don't you? Christian life is about changing the world. This is a greenhouse where we grow, get strong, get nutrients into us, yeah, so that we can go and change the world. So I'm not talking necessarily about awesome things in church, although I love awesome things in church. I'm talking about awesome things in the playground, awesome things in the office, awesome things at home, awesome things over coffee in a cafe, awesome things in Sainsbury's. Remember I said earlier that it's our job to keep ourselves humble? It's nobody else's job. You do not get to humble somebody else. That's called humiliation. Humiliation is imposed humility. We don't do that to each other. Scripture's mandate is that we encourage, edify, confront, challenge, yeah, spur on. Yeah, we get to do each other good. So you don't have to humble anybody else. Humility is their responsibility. Your responsibility is to speak the promises of God over them. Yeah. But please, humility is not about being an also-ran. It's not like being an extra in a cast of thousands. Yeah. So, very often we believe poor things about ourselves because of things that have been said to us. And we believe them. And very often they're said to us by authority figures. And authority figures can be parents who love us, teachers who may or may not love us, church leaders who mean well but aren't perfect. Any authority figure, a husband, a parent, things get said to us that we believe that simply are not true, that crush our spirits and make us give up and go to sleep. Yeah. So, Christine. This is my isn't she very honest and vulnerable about herself? That's because she's so secure.
Just before I ask people to pray, I'm going to be brief. I'm really excited because I looked at Bible in 1 year, Nikki Gumbel, you know. Yesterday's reading was very relevant to us meeting yesterday. And today's is all about fulfilling your potential and being the best you can be. I mean, God is in this, people. He really wants us all to realise that he wants us to be the best me I can be. And all the things that David's just mentioned very quickly is in the reading. Humility, put down roots, you know, holiness, intimacy with the Godhead. So, in Zozo, we do say, you do not have to do this. You are free and powerful people. So if you do not want to do what I'm about to ask you to do, be released. You don't have to do it. But for those of you who just want to, just hear what maybe God wants to say to you. If everyone can close their eyes, so no one's being a spectator, and so will I. And if those of you who want to, if you can pray after me. Father God, Father God, would you show me, what lie I have believed, what lie about myself in relation to my destiny and what you want for me. And you might see, sense, feel or hear. And we usually tell people it's the first thing that comes into their minds. You're not making it up. And if you pray this, Father God, I renounce the lie. And then whatever it was, just you can say it in your mind. You don't have to speak it out loud. So for me it would be, I renounce the lie that I am second best. Then pray this. Father God, I hand you that lie. What truth do you want to give me in exchange? And whatever you heard, saw, sensed or felt, I suggest you just jot it down at some point and you pray into it and you declare it over yourself. Father God, you said, I am not second best. You said that I am number one. You said you love me. You said that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And I am going to align myself, Father God, with what you said about me. I choose to no longer partner with the lies that I have believed. And I am going to go forward in truth. And just the little thing that we say in Zozo, the enemy's sneaky. He'll come up and whisper, you are second best. And you say, I see you and I send you back. That is not the truth. Is there anybody who's brave enough to just share what truth? I don't want to know any stuff, but is there anyone brave enough to say what they felt God gave them in exchange for a lie? You can shout it out from where you are. Stand out. Excellent, thank you. Anybody else? Heaven's resources are yours. See, Father, Jesus and Holy Spirit want to talk to us and show us things. You are better than you think.